The winter evenings were often spent in listening to the traditionary tales and songs relating to the men who had been eminent for their prowess and bravery in the border wars, and of others who had been esteemed for better and milder qualities, such as their having been good landlords, kind neighbors, and otherwise in every respect being bold, independent, and honest men. When the winter began somewhat to abate of its rigors, or in the early spring, it was a common job for me, before setting off to school, to rise betimes in the morning, as indeed I was always accustomed to do, and equipped with an apron, an old dyking mitten, and a sharpened brocken sickle, to set off among the whinbushes which were near at hand, to cut off their last year's sprouts. These were laid into a corner till the evening, when I stripped and fell to work to cree them with a wooden mill in a stone trough, until these tops of the whins were beaten into the consistency of soft, wet grass. And with this mess I fed the horses before I went to bed, or in the morning as occasion might require. Coos would not eat the whin tops thus prepared. I did not indeed persist in pressing them to do so. But in a winter of scarcity, I have known all hands at work in cutting ivy from the trees, and even small ash twigs to be given to the cattle as fodder. From the little window at my bedhead, I noticed all the varying seasons of the year. And when the spring put in, I felt charmed with the music of the birds, which strained their little throats to proclaim it. The chief business imposed upon me as a task at this season was in my being set to work to scale the pastures and meadows, that is, spreading the molehills over the surface of the ground. This, and gardening and such like jobs, was very hungry work, and often made me think dinner time was long in coming. And when, at last, it was sent to me, be what it would, I sat down on the long side of a hedge and ate it with a relish that needed nae sauce. As soon as the bushes and trees began to put forth their buds and make the face of nature look gay, this was the signal for the angler to prepare his fishing tackle. Fishing rods, set guards, and night lines were all soon made fit for use, and with them, late and early, I had a busy time of it during the long summer months, and until the frosts of autumn forbid me to proceed. The uneasiness which my late evening wadings by the waterside gave to my father and mother, I have often since reflected upon with regret. They could not go to bed with the hopes of getting to sleep, while haunted with the apprehension of my being drowned. And well do I remember to this day my father's well-known whistle which called me home. He went to a little distance from the house, where nothing obstructed the sound, and whistled so loud through his finger and thumb that in the still hours of the evening it might be heard echoing up the vale of Tyne to a very great distance. This whistle I learned to imitate, and answered it as well as I could, and then posted home.